edition of American Exposé. It is live. It's the 15th. It's the 15th of August, 2005. Really didn't schedule much this week, but we do have a situation, and it's an ongoing situation with running a network. And certainly I realize that as I tried to set up my own network. The money, people, the money situation is a monster, and it keeps coming all the time. And, the decisions that need to be made have to come about by various creativity-type people, creativity-driven people that want to do the right thing for our country. We're going to have a sponsor on tomorrow, and a potential sponsor, put it that way. We're going to work together and try and keep this thing running because, people, you want me on. That's all there is to it. I've left a number of times, and you want me on. If you want me on, you're going to have to support it. I have one major supporter that I can't take advantage of, and I thank him so much for his support. There's other people out there that will do the same thing. We've got to dig deep down in our pockets and do the best we can to work with each other about the propaganda machine. I was looking at the propaganda machine all weekend long because it's VJ Day celebration. In other words, the 60th anniversary of the surrender of Japan during the Second World War. It's just amazing to watch this. And there's never a mention of the Soviet Union and their drives and directions. And there was never a mention that Japan and Germany signed a pact to fight international communism in 1936. What the History Channel says that Japan and Germany signed a pact to conquer the world, listeners. Conquer the world. That's what I just saw today on the History Channel. That Japan and Germany signed a pact to conquer the world. Well, no, they didn't. They signed a pact to fight international communism. I've got that documentation that came from the Yale Law School people. So we're being fed propaganda on a daily basis. It's incredible how things happen. But, and I don't watch television much at all. I'm just so concerned about the propaganda machine and what they pull forth. And this weekend I spent a lot of time with that because in the second grade I studied World War II. I was fascinated with World War II aircraft. I built every model airplane, every model tank, every model ship that was available as a young person. I couldn't read the directions. I just looked at the pictures and put them together. But everything worked fine, and, you know, I ended up putting firecrackers in them and pouring glue on them at the end and lighting them and blowing them up. You know, that's how they all met their demise. But that was all part of the fascination of what I was brainwashed with at a young age. And that was John Wayne movies. Flying Leatherneck, Sands of Iwo Jima, Fighting Seabees. It goes on and on and on. Operation Pacific, all these different John Wayne propaganda movies from the Second World War and all facets of the service. Just amazing. Anyway, I've got a great knowledge of World War II, people. I have a great knowledge of history. I've learned for a long time that you can't believe anything you're being told. We need your help. I've been saying this for a long time. Shortwave has to be supported on my end, and that's your responsibility. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. Stay with us.
I cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming, winds of change now touch our shores. Our huge forefathers are crying as the dream's been cruised America.
Welcome back to the broadcast. That is Poker Face. Pokerface.com is their website. Pokerface.com. They're in the same struggle we're in, and I say we because it's a network. The other network is the same way that I'm associated with. We're all in the constant battle for funding. And I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry to be this way. We can't get Arm & Hammer. We can't get Procter & Gamble. We can't get any of these sponsors to come sponsor us because of their control and direction in place. It's members of the Council on Foreign Relations are part of most of these companies. And even Rune Arledge from Monday Night Football is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, listeners. Rune Arledge, I don't know whether he's still with us or not. I don't know whether he passed away or not. Many people watch The Tuttles and this American Chopper and Monster Garage. And listen, I watch anything mechanical, anything that has to do with building or welding and constructing. I love watching that kind of information on these learning channels. I enjoy it. But can to get their sponsors, NAPA, can we get NAPA to support this network? That would be the key. That would be the opportunity that you have to helping this network, too. Listeners, very important to think about how you, as a listener, can support us in our directions. Because it's our country. It's your country. It's my country. We want to do the right thing by it. And certainly our leaders haven't for our entire lives. And I take it back to the Federal Reserve System no further. Because you've got to keep from being called a conspiracy kook, listeners. There it is. You don't want to have prospective listeners, prospective supporters, prospective people to be awake and learn about the big picture in place unless you take it to the Federal Reserve and bring it forward, in my opinion. We don't want to be called conspiracy kooks. Conspiracy kooks, here we see from Pravda. Pravda from the UN system, listener. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, actually, Pravda is from the UN system at this point in time, but it's from Russia. Russia controls the UN at the Security Council branch. Russia has a very big influence in our country. And I go back to situations, and most of this is going to be a monologue today unless you call in. Here we see many people blaming Israel today and Zionism. Maybe so. But you blame Jews, you blame innocent Jews that have no clue, and then they're going to say, why are you blaming me? Why are you blaming us? Did Israel support North Vietnam with any weapons during the Vietnam War? Did Israel support Korea, North Korea, with any of its weapons? And the pattern of the Soviet Union supporting Communist China to take over Free China was in place during and after the Second World War, and you have the Russian picture well entrenched in our society today. Whether you like to admit it or not, if you don't admit it, if you don't research Russia and its agreements with this country and this government, then you're missing something. If you don't understand the Ford Foundation wanting to merge this country with Russia, then you're doing a disservice to yourself and your family and your country. So here we see Pravda dated January 27th. 1999 is when it was first available. That's Pravda, first available. January 27th, 1999. I just about flipped my lid seeing this date. But this is dated the 12th of this month. Bush acknowledges the collapsing U.S. economy, listeners. And the first thing I did was send one to Darren, one to Dennis, and one to Hansa, who should be with us on Wednesday, providing we get the support we need to keep rolling. It says the U.S. administration aims to spend $286 billion on the development of the American transport system. It sounds like Pravda is listening to my broadcast, people. Because I don't know who else was covering this, but I know I was. And they know Hansa's on my broadcast. So listen carefully to what Pravda from Russia has to say about America. U.S. President George W. Bush released a remarkable statement a short time ago. The remark has not been highlighted in the world media yet, although there is every reason to do so. Bush virtually acknowledged that the USA was experiencing a serious economic crisis. And when they say this, when we think about it, we think about the billions of dollars being spent on the new UN action in Iraq and Afghanistan. We think about $286 billion for the highway system. Why? Oh, and we're in an economic crisis? Well, who's creating the economic crisis, listeners? Moreover, the U.S. government was taking immense efforts to avoid a massive outbreak of social uneasiness, the American president believes. Well, why does he think there is social uneasiness in this country? Because we're pissed off. We're upset. We're bent out of shape. We're very, very upset to be participating in another Vietnam. There's no end in sight, which is very obvious. How long did Vietnam last? 10 good years. Bobby Garr was the only POW to make it out of Vietnam in 1979 to say, yeah, I was here. Where were you? How come you didn't come get me? There were more of us here waiting for you to come get us. Well, that examination of POWs, MIAs from the Helms Department, Jesse Helms, fully chronicles what happened in Vietnam, Korea, Second World War, First World War, and even the Iraq War, Gulf War I. Very well chronicled the fact that our POWs and the situation with Vietnam was the fact that Kissinger and Nixon offered North Vietnam $3.25 billion of reparations, railroad equipment, supplies, to get the POWs back. And Congress would not allow for it to happen. And Nixon and Kissinger didn't have enough courage to say to the American people in Congress, look, here's what we did. We wrote a letter. We offered them reparations to get our POWs back. Well, we've probably given them those reparations now. And there's probably a secret returnee program that has been going on for a number of years. Probably, I say. So it's all quite a messy situation that we live today. But this Pravda article continues, dated the 12th of August. One may come to this conclusion, and certainly this is very interesting, from the newly signed law about the development of the U.S. transport system, the implementation of the law will cost taxpayers too much money. The U.S. government plans to spend $286 billion on the implementation of the law during the forthcoming 6 years. Now, what are they talking about here, people? The NAFTA corridors, including bridges for wildlife, according to Darren Weeks and his research. And I always trust Darren Weeks and what he does. He doesn't do anything without researching it. It says the U.S. government plans to spend $286 billion on the implementation of the law during the forthcoming 6 years. Furthermore, Bush had to cut the cost of the law, which originally made up $400 billion. The Treasury, however, will have to spend only $12.3 billion during 10 years of guarantee, 10 years to guarantee the energy security and independence within the scope of the recently passed energy policy law, whatever that means. That's quite confusing, I'd say. NASA's annual budget makes up $16 billion. Therefore, the sum of $400 billion makes a huge sum of money, even from the point of view of American financial standards. And certainly that's obvious to me and you, isn't it? Passing such highly expensive laws is usually accompanied with heated debate, numerous changes, and so on and so forth. This time, however, a bill was transformed into a law a lot earlier than usual, as it was supposed. $24 billion were supposed to be used for governmental subsidies to the states, which will be fulfilling the projects of the law. Once again, NAFTA corridors, what are they talking about? That's it. Adversaries of the law said that congressmen and senators would most likely spend the money inappropriately, trying to insinuate their electorate, In addition, many protest against the unwillingness of the U.S. Congress to control the state spending at the moment, when the budgetary shortage is to exceed the record-breaking 333 during the current year, is what it says. The law envisages 6,300 special projects in all states, bridges, highways, landscape accomplishment, snowmobile tracks, etc. It is all so bad with the U.S. infrastructure, with a question mark. That's what it says here. Is it all so bad with the U.S. infrastructure? That's the question. And that's the question I asked listeners the other day. Pravda is listening to this broadcast, listeners, you can pat yourselves on the back. You're listening to a network that is being monitored by Pravda from Russia or the Soviet Union. I never thought they collapsed. They only collapsed for our consumption, people. That's the whole point. We don't talk about Russia anymore because they're our friends. But yet they're allied with Communist China. Communist China surrounded our country with Costco ports on the East Coast, West Coast, Gulf of Mexico, Panama Canal. Products made in slave labor Communist China on your shelves. Do not buy mail order, people, unless you know where the product's being manufactured. Every product you buy that is advertised on the television that you spend will more than likely be made in Communist China. And that's a sad commentary to have. A sad commentary to have. So on with this Pravda article. George Walker Bush, or George W. Bush, released the key statement, which dotted all I's at this point. The law is meant to generate more jobs and give an incentive to the economic development of the USA. Now, what is that all about? More jobs for the UN system. More jobs to implement the United Nations NAFTA corridors that I've been talking about for 7 years. Part of Agenda 21, part of the plan for the 21st century. It's everyone's plan. It's your plan. It's my plan. Whether we like it or not, it's your plan and my plan. I'll be back to continue this article, and then we're going to talk about the need for the funding to keep this rolling. Because I can't pay to educate you anymore. I've already done that. I already went bankrupt once. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. You want to call in? 800-313-9443. With the broadcast. Let's go a little further back in this article and repeat a little bit. From Pravda, listeners, the law envisages 6,300 special projects in all states, bridges, highways, landscape, accomplishment, snowmobile tracks, etc. And get in line if you want to call in. We have a caller already. 800-313-9443. It is also bad with the, once again, is it all so bad with the U.S. infrastructure? George Walker Bush released the key statement, which dotted all I's at this point. The law is meant to generate more jobs and give an incentive to the economic development of the USA. And that's for the UN eyes, people. That's to be envisioned in the NAFTA corridors, the UN system, the NAFTA corridors. The triumphant leader of the world's strongest superpower would never utter such words. The above-mentioned statements from the American president do not characterize the USA as a great empire. Quite on the contrary, the White House is desperately looking for measures to find employment for crowds of unemployed American citizens and hungry migrants, which threaten to enrage the rest of the states. You see the propaganda, people? You see what's going on here, listeners? You understand how serious things are? When this is being generated from Pravda, wars for national liberation. We've already got information about violence at the border, which has been predicted long ago by me. Violence will be happening at the border. It's just designed to be that way. Now I'm going to repeat this paragraph. The triumphant leader of the world's strongest superpower would never utter such words. The above-mentioned statements from the American president do not characterize the USA as a great empire. Quite on the contrary. The White House is desperately looking for measures to find employment for crowds of unemployed American citizens and hungry migrants, which threaten to enrage the rest of the states. Has there ever been a statement that has been so true that our American press couldn't use, that the Pravda uses, which is exactly what we're saying or I'm saying? You see where it all goes, people? You see where it's all building up to? There were 9.3 million unemployed American citizens registered in the USA in 2004. the foreign trade shortage of the USA make up $617.73 billion in 2004, which became the record-breaking index for the USA. To crown it all, the U.S. State Department reached unimaginable $7.22 trillion in 2004 also. And there's the State Department with the U.S. mission to the United Nations, listeners. The U.S. State Department that has sustainable development partnerships, listeners, that are implementing all facets of Agenda 21 today in America and the rest of the world. The State Department is in all countries of the world implementing the U.S. mission to the United Nations. There's the U.S. mission to the European Union, too, listeners. Did you know that? The U.S. mission to the European Union? All optimistic reports about the rising U.S. economy carry the short-term efficiency only. They are presumably destined to save the demising U.S. dollar. Quarterly changes in the number of the unemployed by 100 to 200,000 people do not change the general situation. The USA has already faced such hard periods in its history. Taking a look back at the previous experience of the USA and estimating the new initiative of the American government, one may thus infer that the law about the transport system is like the last glimmer of hope for the U.S. administration to keep the nation under control. Can you believe this? So a $286 billion bill was passed to keep the nation under control to give us all sorts of jobs. Is that not laughable? Profit continues. When massive unemployment put the USA on the brink of survival during the Great Depression of the 30s, the government started funding the development of the transport infrastructure. It became the only way out of the crisis. Highways on which the government spent billions and billions of dollars rescued the entire nation. It is worth mentioning that the value of the U.S. dollar used to be lower during that time. Well, keep in mind, listeners, we had a Second World War that brought us out of the Depression, people. We had everybody banding around, and it was chronicled all weekend long on the History Channel and the Military Channel to kill the Japs. Get the Japs. The Japs. The dirty Japs. The dirty, rotten Japs. And, you know, it was pretty messy back then. It was pretty tragic. They were rotten. They were indoctrinated by Hirohito and company. And I'm not one to be an expert on Japanese history at all. But I do know the Japanese and the Germans were fighting the International Comintern. I have that document here. They made a pact in 1936, November, where they would fight international communism. Not to take over the world, like the History Channel just said to me about an hour ago. Not to take over the world. But listen, when we get in anybody's affairs, any country's foreign affairs, when we attack any country, it is a disaster for this country. Why do we have the right to infiltrate other countries and governments to put our pose of the world system on them? And what are we doing in the Middle East now? It's the UN system. What was the Vietnam War? The UN system. What was the Korean War? The UN system. We'll be back to continue the broadcast and take some phone calls. Two more paragraphs and we'll take some phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Chris Kerner with American Exposé. We are live today as we've come to the conclusion that the support for shortwave is most necessary. I'm not going to, you know, I'm appreciative of being brought onto this network. I really am. For our country's sake, I'm concerned about our country. I've been concerned about our country from the very, very beginning, people, starting with the Cuban Missile Crisis is when I started really learning. And thinking that these John Wayne movies I was watching weren't making a whole lot of sense when, you know, the American people want Fidel Castro overturned. John F. Kennedy wanted Fidel Castro taken out of office. And the aircraft support for the Bay of Pigs did not come, and hence those freedom fighters in Cuba were dealt with. Killed, murdered, tortured, who knows what else happened to those freedom fighters in the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm certain John F. Kennedy wanted to deal with Castro and Cuba. I am certain. Kennedy's assassinated, and the Vietnam War escalates. Didn't make any sense for going over to fight communism. Save South Vietnam for communism. And Cuba's right there. Then you have this Operation Northwoods information, where they were going to generate killing people and blaming it on Cuba, killing people in America, and all sorts of different things. Well, I think that's total propaganda, people. Government propaganda. You don't know the level of infiltration in our government today, but the actions of our government toward the UN system have been very categorically put in place, systematically done. Nothing makes sense, and that is because of infiltration over the generations into our governmental system. And so this is where we are with this article from Pravda. The last three paragraphs. When massive unemployment put the U.S., and this is a repeat of a few minutes ago, when massive unemployment put the U.S. on the brink of survival during the Great Depression of the 30s, the government started funding the development of the transport infrastructure. Now, we already have a great infrastructure of transportation, listeners. You know that, and I know it as well. It became the only way out of the crisis. Highways on which the government spent billions and billions of dollars rescued the entire nation. It is worth mentioning that the value of the U.S. dollar used to be lower during that time. Here is another example, and listen to this. What bears some similarity to the present-day USA? When Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933, Germany was suffering from massive unemployment and helpless economy. Hitler mobilized thousands of the unemployed to build autobahns, which Germany is proud of still. The road construction gave a very powerful impetus to the revival of the German industry. Huge state investments triggered the industrial development, and Germany turned into one of the strongest European superpowers. Now, that is just amazing to dissect this one, because George Walker Bush's granddaddy, Prescott Bush, Hamburg America, and Brown Brothers Harriman. I have the secret history of George Bush here. From Val Valerian's Matrix book. We helped to build up Adolf Hitler and his military machine. People like Prescott Bush were involved in that. Build up Adolf Hitler. And once again, was Adolf Hitler trying to stop communism? I think so. I think Adolf Hitler wanted to stop communism, although he did invade a bunch of countries, and that doesn't look good for him. But I'm sure he had the blessing of Winston Churchill to go after Poland to invade Russia, I'm sure. But that's just my opinion. We'll never get to the bottom of it. But this is all information from Russia's Pravda, listeners, that I'm covering here. And it says here, the last paragraph, the White House is going along with the same path now. However, there is a certain aspect which distinguishes the USA from the above-mentioned examples. Both Hitler's Germany and the USA of the Great Depression period were raising their economies up from the bottom. Nowadays, the USA enjoys the peak of its triumphant development, which is currently being damaged with the flaws of the American economic system. The USA obviously has something to lose. Now, the flaws of the American economic system is the UN system that is in the American economic system. It's the UN system, the WTO, the human rights treaties that we have to abide by. That was most definitely an executive order on the 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, January 10th, 1998, implementation of human rights treaties. That is a nasty executive order. We have an executive order dictatorship today. We move to these different directions because of the setup scenario that we live under. But to dissect this article is very, very easy. Bush acknowledges the collapsing U.S. economy. My God, people. Right there on our website, Pravda, August 12th of 2005. Let's take a phone call. 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Let's take Jay in California. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, sir. Powerful stuff. First, please let me say that I am 50. I've been awake and learning for a good many years, and it takes me a while to become comfortable and confident that a researcher such as yourself is the real deal, and I have come to believe that you are, and I look forward to your program. So I am not going to put off any longer sending you some support. If you could please give me the mailing address of where I might send some support to you monetarily, please.
Okay. I will give that out as I can. I'm not on that site. I want you to send the funding to Republic Broadcasting, and I'll give that address out if you'll be patient with me.
Okay.
I will be happy to give that address out, and you can send it to them, because I really did want to make sure that I didn't see any bills, that if it doesn't work for me, we'll leave on a friendly basis. I'm not going to create enemies here. If it doesn't work, I'll be happy to go. Yeah, I just don't want to create enemies between Republic Radio and myself. I don't want us fighting amongst each other. And Jay, I appreciate your offer of support, and thank you very much.
I think you're firing magnum loads, sir, and I think your aim is exactly on the target. Your crosshairs are exactly correct. Your information seems to be reliable. It correlates with everything I've learned so far and goes even further. And I will support you, and I encourage others out there who are probably like me, listening and learning and trying to decide how they feel. I personally have decided that you are the real deal, and you're shooting magnum loads, and I'm with you.
Well, thank you very much.
I'd like to get to my topic.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Since you brought up World War II, I just recently read another book on the rise of the Gestapo. This book was written in the 60s by a Frenchman who was a member of the French resistance from his perspective, and he apparently did a lot of research after World War II to put this book together. It's pretty well detailed. The author is a man by the name of Jacques de la Rue.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Gestapo, A History of Horror, and there are three points about this that I'd like to bring up with you. One is the trial that was held immediately after the burning of the Reichstag, which I didn't know about, a trial when the so-called culprits were put on trial. Two is the overall blueprint for the rise of the Gestapo and its parallels and similarities to the rise of Homeland Security here in America. And
mm-hmm.
Three is the psychological state, and I think it's very significant, the psychological state of your average John Q. Sixpack German citizen towards the Gestapo, who had at the beginnings the outward appearance of legitimacy, but as they continued with their program and large numbers of people began disappearing off the streets and rumors of torture and executions abounded and it increased and increased and increased, he points out that his commentary on the psychological acceptance of this by the German citizen was very interesting. It was basically in three categories. One would be, no, it's not happening. You're hearing things. Germans don't do that. Or two, yes, it is happening, but it's been exaggerated. It's not as bad as you've heard it to be. Or three, and this is quite interesting, yes, it's happening, but it's necessary evil because we have enemies everywhere and we have to take extreme measures.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting commentary on the psychological acceptance of the German people towards the rise of the Gestapo and its the acceleration of its program against really anybody who was in any way against that government, and it was very fascinating.
Don't you think that's very relevant today?
Absolutely. It just hit me like a baseball bat across the head when he made that commentary about the psychological state, because it is a mirror image of what the psychological state of the American people is towards this police state, the rise of this police state. No, it's not happening. It is exactly what they say it is. Or two, yes, it is happening, but it's not as bad as people say it is. Or three, which even seems to be more prevalent in America, yes, it is happening, it's evil, it's a police state, but it's necessary because extreme times call for extreme measures.
Now, when was that book written and by whom again?
The author is a Frenchman by the name of Jacques de la Rue.
Mm-hmm.
The title is called The Gestapo, A History of Horror. Very well researched, very, very detailed. The publication date is 1964, which is kind of interesting, 1964.
Yeah, there you go. And so many people are thinking, well, we have the Fourth Reich over here today.
Well, I've heard stories that 80 and 85-year-old Holocaust survivors who came to America after the war to live out their lives are now packing up and leaving because they see it.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize it.
They're going back to their homeland.
What was really interesting was that he went into quite a bit of detail about the trial following the burning of the Reichstag, and I'd never had read about that.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, they set up their patsy, the semi-retarded Dutchman or whoever, I forget his name now, he was a patsy, and he laid it all out, how they set it up. He did his homework. He knew, he had learned the details about how the German Gestapo agents had set this man up and then started the fire themselves. But the really interesting part was, and I've never heard this before, it was a very public trial. Very public trial, and it was followed by international media, including American and British media, in detail. And as the trial went on, this was not a kangaroo court at all. The truth began to come out, and the world learned that these guys were dirty, that they had set this patsy up, but yet they just kept going forward with it. Basically, that I believe, after I had read this, I came to believe that. Following the trial of the men who were the patsies for the burning of the Reichstag, this was the first clear indication to the world that you had a corrupt, evil, dirty regime in power, because it was in print for the world to see that they had set this guy up, and they just basically ignored it. And the German judge came to a similar type of decision that the judge on the Waco survivors did. Even after they were found innocent by the jury, the judge said, well, you're guilty of something else anyway, so you're going to prison.
Yeah, and I think back on this as I was on the other network, and we talked about rebuilding the church, and I got on that bandwagon to rebuild the church, and then Tim comes down on me, and he probably heard it from someone else, or maybe he's using his own research. Those people that survived and were pronounced guilty, even the jury pronounced them innocent, and they're still in jail now.
Still in jail now.
Still in prison right now. Think of that.
This is stinking Nazi Germany. I am so fed up.
Yeah.
I walk around so angry all the time that I'm almost afraid to be out in public because I'm afraid I'm going to end up in arguments with these zombie idiots that make up the majority of the population now. We're going to reap what we sow. We're heading into, oh, God.
And isn't the world starting to hate us something awful because of what we're doing in the Middle East?
I believe that's part of the agenda, you know.
Yes.
Like I was trying to explain to somebody the other day who was discussing that about this Iraq war. Oh, it's this whole Christian versus Muslim thing. And the thing I've learned to say to these people is that as soon as you come across with the statement that this massive evil that is upon the world now has something to do with Christianity, there is nothing these demons like more than to hear people saying that, because ultimately. Christianity, genuine, true Christianity has to be destroyed. And what we see is the Antichrist system, beast system, just like a steamroller that is powered by very, very sophisticated mind control. And when people are walking around blaming Christianity for the evils of this world, they're there.
Oh, boy.
You know?
You know, it's just frightening to think where we are today, and this is why I put Hans on every Wednesday if he's available. It's so frightening to see how the engineering's going on, and yet there's so much prevalence of communist China in America today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, sure. The abolition of private property, first plank of the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
And the point number two on the rise of the Gestapo that I wanted to discuss just briefly, and then I'll clear the line so another person can get in, was that as you read the history, you see a blueprint of manipulation, corruption, a lie, of course, lying, elaborate controlled lies, control of the media. And the overall blueprint for the rise of the Gestapo is so similar to the blueprint for the rise of the American security police state that it'll suck your breath right out of you. It is so startling, stark, and similar. It's virtually the same blueprint.
You're right, and the thing that bothers me more than anything else, back in 98, 99, the FBI was declaring terrorists as anti-government people.
Right.
And here we are.
I just keep wondering. The question that occurs to me every day is how blatant does it have to get before the people sitting in front of the mind control box in their living room wake up and just see it and just say, hey, wait a minute. Because,
well,
you know, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn said when they were in the camps, they said, you know, we could have stopped it any time we wanted to, but we didn't.
And there is the crux of the situation, as BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure, has talked about this many times, about the closure of our bases, and certainly Bush, here's an article dated May 28th, Bush defends closing unnecessary bases, and yet I see here, once again, this Army Regulation 210-35, installation of civilian inmate labor programs. It's updated February 14th of 2005.
Gulag America. Listen, while you're on that topic, let me just say this. There's a military base not far from where I'm located, which is closed as a military base, but it still operates in other ways. And they're getting ready to Rex 86, that base. They've got, I'm always watching. Watch for the concrete barricades to go in certain key locations off to the side of the road, ready for instant use.
I like what you say, Rex 86 it.
Yes, sir. You know about that. You can talk about that as soon as I'm done talking
to you. No, you tell the listeners what it is.
Okay, good old Rex 86, designed and implemented by another phony conservative, Oliver North, and among others. And it was even brought up in congressional hearing how these bases were getting ready to be converted into concentration camps. And I actually heard the audio tape where several of these, I believe Daniel Inouye brought it up, or he might have been the one who shouted.
He shut him down. Let's talk about this on the other side.
Okay.
We'll stay with you, Jay, and continue. This is very pertinent information, people. We'll be back to continue. I'm going to get William Papp's lawsuit at the commercial pause here and be back with that. So stay with us, and that address to support the broadcast. Okay, we're back. We had a little glitch, a little touch of lightning. We lost Jay and Mike. We lost Jay in California. We lost Mike in Maryland. I would hope that you both call back in, please. At this stage, we were on a roll here, Jay and myself, and I came up with William Papp's lawsuit about the concentration camp program done in 1976. The number to support this broadcast and the network. If you want to keep me on the air, and certainly we've had some generous help from one of my great friends, and I'm not putting pressure on this individual by doing this. I'm not pressuring him. I'm pressuring everyone out there that wants to hear me to support my direction and to get this shortwave bill taken care of. We'll have a sponsor on tomorrow or this week, and it's a sponsor you're familiar with, but it's going to be helping me out this time. Tammy, quiet down. The number or the address, people, to support this broadcast for your mail-in support is 1015 South Mays Street. That's 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Suite 100. That's 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Many of you know this address, 78664. And your donations are necessary, people. I'm not going to leave under bad circumstances. If the network can't afford me, then I have to go. And I'm not going to go under upset circumstances. We're just going to, at the end of the month, we're going to make a decision. Are we going to keep it going? We have 2 weeks, all right? If we're going to keep it going or not, after 2 weeks, I'll ride off into the sunset again. But I'm not going to ride off into the sunset huffy and upset like I've done in the past out of frustration. I'm just going to be, it's just going to be a friendly sayonara. You know where I come from. You know what I do. And it's just very, very impossible for me to pay to educate you anymore. So your support is most necessary. That address is 1015 South May Street, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's 78664. Your phone-in pledges, if you follow through with your phone-in pledge, that means you phone it in, you pledge, and then you write the check. That number is 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. I hope that Jay will call back. I hope Mike in Maryland will call back. We didn't cut you off, gentlemen. It was a glitch of the network. Before we take Carl, let me just reemphasize this concentration camp lawsuit by William Pabst. It was the people of the United States of America, William R. Pabst, versus, get this, Gerald Ford, President of the United States, Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense. Yes, Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, 1976, listeners. Wouldn't we like to give this man truth serum and be on GCR, be on RBN, people? Donald Rumsfeld needs truth serum to the American people. Also, Howard H. Galloway, Secretary of the Army. General Frederick C. Wyand, Chief of the Staff, United States Army. Lieutenant General Alan M. Burdett, Jr., Commanding General, 5th Army. Colonel Hargons, Law Enforcement Division, Deputy Chief of Staff for the Personnel, United States Army. Colonel B.C. Young, Provost Marshal, 5th Army. Mr. Fenneran, 300th MP POW Command. The Commander, 300th MP POW Command. Howard H. Levi, Attorney General. Henry Kissinger, Secretary of State.
Values are being phased out of the government.